Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
So the message I have for us today is really a message, I think, about our preparation. It's more of a teaching to strengthen and develop our understanding. And to continue in the idea that there are broad ways that God has brought us together and that he has done it on purpose and with intention for the strengthening of his kingdom. If you have a Bible with you, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at two portions of scripture here at the top of service. 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start in verse 4. This is, of course, Paul writing to the church in Corinth as he is beginning to establish and explain to them what this new thing, this followers of Jesus and this thing called the church is and should look like. And starting in verse 4, it says, "Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the portion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhorting. Giving with generosity, leading with diligence, and showing mercy with cheerfulness." Turn with me now to the book of Romans, a very similar portion of scripture. We see in Romans, also chapter 12. Did I read Romans? Lord have mercy. I read Romans to you. Okay. No, I was right? Okay, good. Sorry. Beautiful. Now we're in Romans 12. And Romans 12. No, I read Romans 12 to you. And what I want to, my goodness, I'm sorry, guys. I read you Romans 12. Now we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12. Sorry, guys. We're going to get it together today. Lord Jesus, come. Romans 12, starting in verse 4, says, "Now there are different gifts." No, now I'm in Corinthians. Corinthians is the one we haven't read. Can you help me? Can you read this? All right, we have read Romans 12. We are now reading 1 Corinthians 12. And it goes like this. "Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given the message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the message of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between the spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of the tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as he wills." We better pray. God, thank you for your living word. I thank you that it is alive and active. I thank you that you give it to us for the instruction, for edification, for the building of your people. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me to deliver the words that you spoke to me, to lead us, to equip us, and to strengthen us, and for it to help us in the days to come to be the people that you have called us to be. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. I don't know if you've ever tried to build anything in your life. A piece of furniture, a cabinet, a treehouse. I don't do a ton of building in my life, but I have pieced together a few pieces of IKEA furniture. I have done a few little handy home projects here and there. And what I have learned about anything that you need to build or put together is that the key ingredient is having the right tools for the job. That a critical aspect to whether or not this project is going to get done has to do with, do I actually have the tools? I read this book several years ago, and it was one of those like, how to absolutely minimize your life so you never have to clean or put anything ever away ever again because you have so few items in your life. It had some helpful hints in it. But at one point in the book, the author of this philosophy on life recommended that sometimes you actually don't need certain tools. What you can do is just use other things in place of that. For example, you might not always need a hammer. The heel of your shoe could work as a, and I was like, we have gone too far. That might work if you're just trying to do some random, but if you're trying to build anything of actual substance, if you're trying to build anything that is ever going to actually last, anything that's really going to hold together that somebody else can sit on or stand on or live on the inside of, I'm going to need you to show up with the right tools for the job. Talking about hammering with the heel of a shoe. I need you to show up with a real hammer. In fact, I would prefer if you know how to use your hammer so well that you have different weights of hammers. I need to know that you know the tool that you are using. God has equipped his body with different tools for the work that he has called us to. The work that he has called us to is to build together, to establish his kingdom, to expand the knowledge of who he is and make sure that whoever can possibly be part of this great message is part of the family and the kingdom of God. And in order to do that, we need some different tools. We don't need just one tool. We don't need just one kind. He said he has distributed to us different gifts, different diverse tools, different giftings that he has poured out according to his will on purpose. That there is not just one way that the Spirit of God shows up on the inside of us, and that there is not just one way that his Spirit moves and works in us, but that there is a variety of ways and a variety of different tools. He has given us diversity in the gifts that he has distributed to us because there is diversity in the work that needs to be done. Can you imagine if I told you, or if you told me rather, that you were planting a garden this weekend and I showed up to your house with a chainsaw? You'd be like, what are we doing here? This is not the tool I need for the job. And God knows that there are many different things that we will face in life, and there are many different places that he has called us into, and there are many different types of people that he needs us to have access into. And so he has distributed his gifts in such a way that we can diversely show up. Sometimes we say what we need right now is a service gift. And we know who to call on because God has distributed his gifts of serving. What we need right now is a faith gift, someone who can show up and stand and believe with us in a situation and in a circumstance. And so we say, who among us has a gift of faith? What we need right now is a gift of administration, or we need your gift of mercy to come into this place right now. Is there anyone with a gift of understanding and interpreting the different tongues that are spoken? Because there are many different situations. God has not called us to be monolithic in the way that we express ourselves, or monolithic in the way that he works and operates in us. He has called us to be an expression of the breadth of who he is. And as Paul is writing to these early churches, he's telling them, there is a diversity of the gifts that I am sending you. And he also tells them that God, as he wills, has distributed the gifts among us. Now, this is interesting to me, because I think, if there's all the gifts, I want all the gifts. You know what I mean? I mean, why not just give me everything? But it says that God intentionally has distributed his gifts among his people. God distributes his gifts among his people in order to make us remember that we are reliant on one another. That none of us have everything that we need all within ourselves. That none of us can access the fullness of who God is. That none of us can run through this life and run through this journey all on our own. That he has called us to be in a body. And so there is diversity of gifts for the varying situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. And there is distribution of the gifts to ensure that we continue to run to and turn to and lean on one another. Another, because there is something that I have that you might need access to, and there is something that you have that I'm going to need access to, and it's not just one of us that ever has everything. I was listening to this social scientist recently, and he was talking about the idea that part of what has led to so much of our isolation and so much of the inner turmoil and the mental health crisis that we see in so many spaces is this idea that we have become so self-reliant. I run out of an egg and I order eggs to be delivered to my house. I don't go to my neighbor and ask for them and tell them that I have need of an egg. I need to get to the airport and I order up an Uber all on my own, and a car service comes to my house and takes me where I go. I don't need to ask of someone else. And it removes from us the necessity of acknowledging and admitting and communicating that there is something that I need. I have a need that I cannot on my own fulfill. And so God, in all of his wisdom and all of his intention, has distributed the gifts among the body in such a way that you can't just call this up and have it delivered all on your own. If you need something that you don't have on your own, you have to go to other parts of the body and say, there is something that I need that I don't have that I have to get, because I see that God has distributed this gift to you. And it makes us lean on each other, and it makes us rely on each other, and it makes us understand that God has called us not to be single individual believers all on our own, but that he has fit us together intentionally and on purpose, because he needs us to know that we are part of a body. And these gifts that he has given us in diversity and that he has distributed across the body, they have an intentional destination, which is the common good of the body. God has given us these gifts for all of our common good. for the reason of building one another up, for the purpose of strengthening each other, for the purpose of ensuring that our mutual faith is made better and is made stronger and is moving in the direction of looking more like Jesus when we come together. So when we come together, if someone has a gift of exhorting, then they exhort and I feel built up from that. And if someone has a gift of mercy, then they communicate mercy and they wrap us in mercy and my faith is built up from that. If someone has a gift for healings and for miracles, then my gift and my faith and my journey is made better because I've come around another believer. The purpose of the gifts that God has distributed throughout his body should never be seen as singular. And the purpose of the gift should never be seen as about the individual, but he has distributed diverse gifts across the breadth of the body for the purpose of building up and strengthening the common good of the person sitting next to you. Your gift was never about how good you are. And my gift was never intended to be about how well I could look with my gift. And my gift is never intended to be about proving my holiness or proving how much God loves me or proving something about my own faith or the sincerity of my faith or the depth of my faith or the longevity of my faith. No. He says the source of these gifts, let's be clear, came straight from God. And he has chosen who to distribute them to, which means that it was not because of anything that I did, and it means that it was not because of anything that I earned, but because he saw fit to distribute the gifts in a specific way so that we would be reliant on each other. And so if I see that I have been distributed to a gift, my question should not be, how can I handle my gift, but who has need of what God has placed in my hand? God has put something in my hand. He has taught me to live generously and given me a gift where I'm able to give generously. And so the question is, who has need of my gift? And as Paul communicates in both of these two portions of scripture, one found in Romans 12 and the other found in 1 Corinthians 12, if you need to look them up later, there are two common themes that he returns to. One of the themes is that these gifts are from the one same Spirit. Over and over again, he says, it is by one Spirit that you were called, and it was to one faith that you were called, and from the one same God, and from the one Spirit that gave this, and from the one Spirit that gave that. Repeatedly, he returns to this idea that there is one Spirit that these gifts came from. Now, this is an incredibly important message to the original audience that he was communicating to, because he is communicating to a group of people that come from a polytheistic society or even a henotheistic society. Polytheistic being that you believe that there is a central God with many gods that express that same God. Henotheism being that you believe that there are different deities that are assigned to different groups of people or different lands and different areas or even different distributions of gifts. Meaning that I might say, well, my family God is this God, but your family God is that God. And we acknowledge separately that there are different gods and we live within this understanding of many different gods. I'm serving one and you're serving one. And it was the claim of Christianity that there is not one God in many gods and that there is not many gods in different places, but that there is one true living God. There is one Spirit. And it was critical that Paul communicated this and explained this because this one God is a multifaceted God who is showing up to the people in different distributions of gifts. And if they have not fully untangled the culture they have been brought up in, they might be inclined to think that since this thing is showing up in me like prophecy and it's showing up in you like healing, maybe there are multiple gods that we're not now serving. And Paul is saying to them, this is not what's happening. There is one Spirit, one God who gave you healing and who gave you prophecy and who gave you faith and who gave you multiple languages. This is the one God that we are serving, and it was necessary. It's why you see things like when Paul speaks to the women and he tells them that it is through childbearing that you will be saved. Paul is not making a claim to them that your salvation comes through the bearing of children. This would be ludicrous because Paul makes it very clear that it is through faith alone that we are saved. He is encouraging the women and settling their hearts because they were living under the belief that it was their worship to the goddess Diana that gave them protection in childbearing. And now they have left their worship of this false deity and are worshiping the one true God. But part of their life has been built around this idea that the thing that keeps me safe in bearing children in the time of birth and of labor is my connection to this worship of this deity who is over birth. So they're scared. And so Paul, in his love and his leadership and his care for them, says, you don't have to be afraid. This one true God is with you in this space. He's with you here as well, and he is breaking for them the mold of what they used to trust in, of what they used to find their source in, of what they used to find belief in, because he's telling them there's one God who's over it all. Now, maybe you don't believe in household gods, but I bet you have other places that you run to for worship sometimes. Other places that you look to for your strength and your stability. Other things that you think become the source of your strength and the source of your affirmation and the source of your power. Like, is your career on track? Like, are you graduating with accolades? Like, what is your family doing and how are people perceiving you? And perhaps you don't have a household idol where you go to offer sacrifices, but you do have the things that get your attention and the things that get your love and the things that get your heart and the things that get your calendar and the things that get your resources. And Paul's point to them is that none of these other things are the things that deserve our attention, because none of these things have the strength or the power to distribute to you something with the ability to change lives. It is only one Spirit, one God, one source who is over all and in all and through all. He is the God who has distributed his gifts to you. And then he tells them, because it is the one source that we get our power from, it is also that he has called us into unity. That we are jointly fit together as one body. He uses the image of a body, that we are many parts. The point that Paul is making is that we do not lose our distinctness and we do not lose the uniqueness that God has made us in. This new thing of the church was doing what it is still doing today, which is being a place where people who from different social backgrounds and different race backgrounds and different nations and different genders came together to be one. United together in their one call. And Paul is telling them it is the diversity of the gifts that have been distributed to us that allow us to fit together properly. It is the diversity of the gifts that have been given to us that give us strength. Diversity gives us strength and health. Without diversity, we end up weird and weak. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Habsburg chin. So the Habsburg chin, for all my non-history nerds, is this very distinct, enlarged, and protruding chin that developed in the Habsburg dynasty. And where the Habsburg chin came from is too much inbreeding. Not enough diversity in the genetic pool. You know, those old royals were very concerned about making sure that we kept everything in the family. And in making sure that they kept everything, you can go look this up later. In making sure that they kept everything in the family, we weren't quite getting enough diversity back into the pool. And so we end up with a weird chin. Because a lack of diversity makes you weird and weak. But God has distributed diverse gifts across his people that come from the one God to bring us together in unity and in strength. He says, I need you to understand that when I have called you together, I've called you together for everyone to stand in their unique space and to hold the place that I have called you. There is a gift that God has distributed to you that the body has need of. And so he brings us into this place and says, I need hands to be hands, and I need feet to be feet, and I need knees to be knees, and I need eyes to be eyes, and I need mouths to be mouths, and backbones to be backbones, and shoulders to be shoulders. And I don't need you saying to each other, well, how come I don't get that gift? Can you imagine if your ear was all day long like, well, I just got something to say too? It's ridiculous. But we do that. God, how come you won't use me like that? God, how come you haven't called me to that place? God, why won't you let me? And God's like, I gave you a role. I gave you something for the benefit of the body. I gave you a place to be in. I've distributed my gifts to you. And I don't need you looking over at somebody else saying, what if I could be like them? I need you standing in your place. I need you adding strength to the joint of the place I've called you. I need ankles that know how to hold something in every season, and shoulders that know how to carry something that's heavy and weighty. And I need minds that know how to think and communicate where it is we're going. And I need eyes that can see with a vision that God gave them, and ears that can hear what heaven is saying right now. I need some people who have hands ready to put to the plow. I need those who have arms that can wrap somebody else and hold them when they're crying. I need knees that know how to bend and pray and intercede seed on behalf of somebody else. I have a whole body that I've put together, and stop trying to be what I haven't called you to be, and just own the space that I've placed you in. Own the call that I've given you. Own the purpose that I've distributed to you, because it's for the common good of the body. He fit you together. He called us together. Nobody's calling me to do a rodeo camp and teach kids how to ride on a bull. Are you kidding me? They took one look at me and they said, pass on that one, girl. This is not where we need you. But God has called us to be in part of the body. And he has also given us diversity in leadership. That there are leadership giftings that God has assigned to the church. And just as he has put a body together with unique gifts, and just as he has called us and distributed gifts across the breadth of the body, also in leadership roles, Paul begins to communicate to the church that there are specific roles that God has set and assigned to lead us in this thing called the church, in this thing called being the family of God. He writes to Timothy, and when he writes to Timothy, he is beginning to instruct Timothy on how to find leaders in the church. And as he communicates to Timothy and he's saying to him, I want you to look for some distinct characteristics. For sake of time for today, I've summarized what I think those things are into three areas. The first thing that he's looking for is moral character. When he's looking for leaders, he's looking for people who are the same when they come to you as they are when they go home. People who are spoken well of by the community. People who are of upstanding and are moral and carry a moral character are those that Paul communicates to Timothy to look for leaders. The next is that they have doctrinal integrity. That they are people who know their scriptures, understand their scriptures, and follow faithfully in line with the teachings of the church. That they're not off in side teachings and that they're not always trying to find their own unique angle that nobody else is talking about, but that they are committed to the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the apostle, and the teaching of the church. And that there is evidence of gifting in their life. That there is evidence that the Spirit is moving and working in their life. When Paul is communicating to Timothy, he says, when you are looking for leaders, look for those of moral character, of doctrinal integrity, and of evidence of a gift. Now, this is different than what he communicates when he is saying that gifts have been distributed to the body. He doesn't say to receive a gift from the body that you have to be a person of moral character. I hope that you are. He doesn't say that you have to have doctrinal integrity in order to receive a distribution of a gift from the Spirit. I think that it will help you. But he says that in order to be seen as a leader, there is a new level of barrier that I need you to call them into. And then in Ephesians 4 and 11, as he's communicating to the church and beginning to establish leadership, he's explaining to them that the understanding we have of the leadership roles that God has placed inside of the church, that there is diversity in the distribution of the gifts to the body, and there is also diversity in the leadership gifts that are called to lead and hold up the church in the things of God, that he is creating structure for the church. And God lists out through Paul five leadership gifts, which also correlates with the number five throughout scripture that speaks to us of the grace that God distributes, that it is a grace and a gifting that God gives us leaders to lead and to guide us in the things of God. We see them in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. I'm just going to read the screen this time so we don't get lost. Lord. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles. He himself is referring to God. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ until we reach in the unity of the faith, we're still striving for unity, and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing in maturity with stature, measure, and by Christ's fullness. He says, I have given you these gifts of leaders. The first, some to be apostles. Not all are called to be apostles. Some are called to be apostles. The apostles are those who are sent first. The apostles are the ones who are described as the foundation stones that everything else is built upon. Apostles are the forerunning leaders in the work of God's ministry and in the leadership that God has called us to. They are those who go in to open up and to break through in spaces, and they are those who then raise up and train other leaders to come up and establish behind them. We see this in scripture, for example, when Paul goes in as an apostle to open up and break through and establish an area, but then he calls behind him Timothy, who he has trained up to place into that, because it is the apostle's role to be sent and to break through in a new space and in a new area. The next he calls are prophets. Prophets are those who hear from God and communicate to the people on behalf of God. They are those who have an ear attuned to what heaven is saying. Those who have an ear to understand the movement of what God is doing, how to help keep us in flow with what God is speaking for this moment and for this season. Remember that they are those who are of doctrinal integrity. So what they are speaking comes in alignment with what God has already spoken, but it helps us understand what God has already spoken and how it aligns with what he is speaking for now and for today. God has set some to be apostles, some to be prophets. I want to take a minute right here because there are veins of our brothers and sisters in Christ, other maybe denominations of believers who promote the idea and have a belief in the idea that these two roles were set aside only until the completion of scripture. And that these two roles that Paul communicates have then since ceased, and we no longer have apostles and we no longer have prophets, but that they were only for the establishing of the church. This has been debated for decades, centuries. We could go on it. I will tell you simply that it is my understanding from both my studying of the scripture and my experience in church that I do not agree with that position. I think that we still have and have need of apostles today. Those who go forward and lead in direction and train up and raise up and guide. And we still have need of and see evidence of prophets today who speak to the church and give us warning and direction and say, this is what the ear of heaven is seeing. It does not compute or gather to me that Paul would give us this list and the other three would remain, but these two would for some reason cease to exist. I believe that they are a fivefold set, and in the same way that severing two of your fingers from your hand would make it weaker and less helpful and kind of weird, severing two of the gifts from the fivefold gifting that God has given us would make it weaker and kind of weird. The next you heard from already today is evangelists. That God has set some to be the evangelists. The evangelists are the ones who are gifted in communicating the message of the gospel and calling us to live inside this living work of the gospel. The next is the pastors, that he has called some to be pastors. The pastors are the shepherds, those who care for, feed, guard the sheep or the people that God has called us. They care for, they guard, and they feed the people that God has brought and gathered together. It's easy in our modern vernacular to think that all five of these are pastors because for some reason we use the title of pastors most often. I think we're on the next screen if we can move it. We use the title of pastors most often in our current modern vernacular. There's not necessarily anything wrong with that as long as we understand that many of the people we title as pastors are actually apostles. Many of the people we title as pastors are actually teachers. Many of the people we title as pastors are perhaps evangelists or prophets. It's just the way that we communicate it. But there are some who are called to the care, the feeding, and the guarding of the sheep. It is the role that God has set them in. The last is teachers. teachers are those who lead us in the instruction and the understanding of God's word. They bring understanding. Some versions use the word teacher, preacher, and there are lots of conversations to be had about if someone is a teacher or a preacher and what the difference is. There maybe are some differences, but largely what both roles are called to do is to instruct us in the scripture that God has given us and bring understanding and stability to our walk with God, that he has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to strengthen the body of God. And he has given us diversity in the distribution of his gifts to the body. And he has given us diversity in the leadership that he has set and established in his church because he wants us to be strong. And he wants us to be reliant on each other. He wants us to know that it's the one God that it all came from. But it's to each and every one of us that he has called us into a role. And he has called us into an assignment. And he has called us into a purpose. And I want you to know that the kind of church we are is not a church that only celebrates some giftings. And is not a church that only celebrates some leadership roles, but the kind of church we are is a church that celebrates that God has uniquely fit us together and distributed his gifts to his people and distributed his gifts to the body for the purpose of seeing us stand in unity for the common good of every believer so that we can all move forward together. That we can't move forward with a foot hanging out behind us, and we can't move forward when we left our eye laying over there, and we can't move forward if we're not breathing in through our lungs the breath of God, but that each and every one of us has a distinct place to play and a role to stand in and a purpose to be in and a gifting that God has given and distributed throughout his body, and that we honor and we celebrate then that God gave us leaders to strengthen and support and give direction and understanding, that leaders are a gift to the body. And we know that these five are distinct because of what Paul says in verse 12. He says, and these some five are given for not just the common good, but the equipping of the body so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. Every believer has been distributed a gift from God so that they can do the work of the ministry. And it is the role of these five then to come alongside and strengthen and equip the body so that, just like Johnny said, you can go out and do the work of the ministry in the places that he takes you, in the work that he calls you to, in the families that he set you in the neighborhoods and apartments where you live. It's not that coming here is about using our gifts. Coming here is so that the fivefold ministry can equip the believer, encourage the believer, strengthen the believer, build you up in your resilient faith so that you can go out and do the work of the ministry. I think that we have gotten this very backwards, that we think that it is the role of ministry leadership to be doing the work of the ministry, but it is the role of leadership ministry to be equipping the body, to be equipping the believer, to be equipping whoever comes and says, I've called Jesus my Savior, to teach, to instruct, to encourage, to direct, to speak what heaven is speaking and say, now that you know what to do and now that you know how to do it, you have been designed, called, and equipped for the common good of the body to go out and take care of each other, to go out and pray healing over each other, to go out and speak prophetic words over each other, to go out and declare the good news of the gospel through your gift of evangelism to your neighborhood, to go out with generosity and take care of the poor in our city. You have been equipped and you have been strengthened because we have strength in diversity and leadership to raise up strength and diversity in the body for the doing of the work. This is what he has called us to. And I want us to be a church that in every way celebrates the multifaceted ways that God has distributed his gifts, celebrates the multifaceted ways that he is showing up in our lives. It's why we do things like Milestone Sunday, where we're gonna come together and we're gonna celebrate everything that God is doing in this body and all of the different ways that he's moving in this space. And it's also why, as part of Milestone Sunday, we're going to, as we prepare for what God is taking us into, ordain a couple of leaders that we have recognized in this church who are getting ready to step into this space that God has equipped and called them to, because they are here to equip the body of believers. I want to encourage you and invite you to make sure you're part of Milestone Sunday, because it's going to be an important, meaningful day for the life of our church, because we believe that God brings strength and health in the diverse ways that he distributes his gifts across our body and to leaders everywhere. Amen, church. I'd love to just pray over you right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your good gifts. I thank you that you have poured out your Spirit on us. I thank you that it is from the one God and that you have given us many gifts across the breadth of the body. And God, we thank you for the gift of leadership. We thank you for diversity in leadership that equips and strengthens us. And God, I just ask you to pour out in fresh ways your gifts across this body. I thank you that you're revealing to us the ways that you have called us and designed us. I thank you for a spirit, God, of celebration, that we celebrate one another, that we honor one another, that we don't look wishing that we were in a place we're not in, God, but that we thank God for the role that you have given us and thank God for the role that you have given others. We honor you today, God, in your mighty name. Amen.